Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batsman. I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Thursday, the 29th of January. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thoughts-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Welcome back to the Gladiator Show, OK, because we have two gladiators joining me now. Mr. David Buick, the senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon, and Mr. Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners. Morning, gladiators.
Morning. Morning.
I think my spear's made of bamboo there. But there
where are the Lycra costumes?
Well, we'll do that for the
scary thought.
The next Artica show. Chaps, let's talk. We haven't got a huge amount of time, as always. I was going to pick your brains on Greece, Mr. Odie, and the Fed and earnings. Fire away.
I'll start with Greece, because Mike's very strong on the other two. Greece, I see, is more of a problem than everybody else does. The market seems remarkably chilled out. Oh, it's priced in Elbean, don't worry about it. I do worry about it, because I think we've either got somebody who's arrogant, stupid, or naive as Prime Minister, who starts talking about a country that owes 260 billion euros in terms of debt, about how he wants to increase pensions and have more public sector workers, which has got little to do with austerity. In fact, I would suggest it's 180 degrees diametrically opposed to that. And he hasn't even met Frau Merkel on an official basis, nor the lovely Christine Lagarde, nor Mario Draghi. And as the Troika, they will have something to say about this. It's all very well saying we're not going to be confrontational, but then your first briefing that you are. The markets, as we know yesterday, Moose, did not like it. I mean, the Athens exchange fell by 9%. Some banks were down as low as 29%. 3-year debt, Greek debt, hit 16% yield, 13% for 5 years, and 10.2 for 10 years, which tells me that there is a chance of default. Mike and I were discussing before we came out, so I'll leave him with the last word. What do I think was going to happen? My answer is I don't know. I'll tell you what should happen. It should be sayonara Greece. Mm-hmm. Bring back the drachma, 40% depreciation, terrific return to the tourist season, sell agricultural policy, and every country in the world that's got half a brain in its head will want to open some business in Greece because of the tax implications and because of the drachma. But he and I both think that if a push comes to a shove, that a sweet deal will be done. And, you know, writing down some debt, giving longer to pay, in fact, trying to keep the European Union together at all costs. Enter stage left, Spain, Portugal, Italy. What about me, Gov?
Yeah, I think he's right. I mean, the market at the moment seems to be thinking it's a 15 to 20% call on Grexit. I think it's a 40, 50% call on Grexit.
Right.
I don't know whether the... I mean, again, in terms of, you know, talking about, you know, he's arrogant or stupid or whatever, I mean, he might be a hell of a poker player. I don't know. Okay. I mean, the thing is got to remember is that the Syriza doesn't have a mandate to take them out of the euro. About 70% of the Greek population wants to stay within the euro, but simultaneously they want, you know, ice cream and candy floss. And it ain't going to happen. You know, they're mutually exclusive. There is no way in hell that the Troika is going to allow Greece to roll back everything. Now, whether this is a negotiating ploy, he's pitching so high, any deal that's done for Greece is going to look good and both sides can declare some degree of victory. I don't know whether he believes in it, whether he actually believes that, you know, back to the future, back to the 1970s, is the way for any economy in the 21st century to go. Big question mark. I mean, certainly, you know, the sort of cabinet that he's put together would indicate that might actually be the case. And of course, he might be also in a situation where he knows that what he's tabling is going to be unacceptable. They get pushed out of the euro by Germany, and the rhetoric in Germany is fierce at the moment. I mean, there's really they've absolutely dug in. And he said, well, we wanted to stay in the euro, but ultimately we got pushed. So there you go. Right. But I think the major problem is that if you look at where Greece is coming from at the moment, there's effectively a trilemma. They want to stay in the euro, achieve meaningful debt reduction, and Syriza wants to stay in power. And I don't think you're going to get all three of those.
Right, Crispin Odie.
Well, I know him, but Mike knows an awful lot more about him. He's not a man to come out with outrageous statements. Mike will go into the detail on this, but I think when Crispin says there's the possibility of shorting stocks to the same degree as we did between 2007 and 2009, you have to listen. But I'm going to leave Mike to talk because it's the timing.
Well, I know Crispin because I used to be a client of mine back when I was, man and boy.
Rich and famous.
When I was rich and famous. When was that? It's interesting to see somebody who has been pretty bullish through the last few years, if you like, coming out with such
a
statement.
Love QE, didn't he?
Love QE. Well, look, QE, the whole point of QE is to get asset prices up. And, of course, we know that the feed through to the real economy has actually not been great and it's certainly been patchy. Reading through, his fourth quarter review, basically, wasn't it, saying that he was very, I think he said we will see the biggest recession, that will be talked about in 100 years' time something like that. I think he's right to be cautious. Goodness knows, we've spoken, week after week about, I felt the U.S. Global economy is dysfunctional. You are still seeing that in price action in equity markets in terms of, growth over value, non-cyclicals over cyclicals. The market to some extent is actually pricing some of this in. And of course, the backdrop is, competitive devaluation, which is rolling around the globe. And, the US at the moment is on getting the blunt end of the stick on that one. So, yeah, there are certain problems out there. I'm not quite sure this would play out quite the same as, say, 2008.
No.
Because... rather than sort of a big bang fall. But I certainly can see
I think it would have to be more selective.
I think it's a corrosive drip, drip, drip in markets where returns and risk-adjusted returns... we're already seeing it. Returns overall are trailing off. Volatility is up. And volatility is up.
We need to say something about the FOMC, otherwise
we're not going to... 2 minutes to go.
I already mentioned the FOMC. It's quite interesting to see the statement overnight. Obviously, there was no press conference, so we don't get as much colour as we did last time round. But, they clearly upgraded their economic outlook, both in terms of growth and employment. It still does worry me to the extent that the US can decouple from what's going on elsewhere, that the US bond market might be somewhat sanguine about when the first rate rise might come in and how that feeds in along the curve. But again, how's that going to percolate through markets? More volatility.
30 seconds on that, taking over from... I don't see any rate increase before first quarter 2016.
Okay.
Far too concerned about what's going on in the rest of the world to say, right, we're going to move now. Secondly, and it's slightly tied up with this because, as Mike says, the quality of the data is much better, is earnings are pretty good in the United States. They're not too bad. Some are saying, you strip Apple out and it looks pretty average stuff. Well, all I can tell you of about the 150 companies that have already reported, 77 have beaten expectation, which I think is pretty good.
Do you not think, sorry to interrupt, but the strong dollar is going to have a slight adverse effect?
Yes, it will do. But gung-ho being in the FTSE 100, we should be okay away from oil stocks.
Just to throw a couple of numbers out, it's clearly going to be a headwind, but if you look at the S&P 500 top down, only about 18% of earnings from the S&P on a pre-tax basis are actually derived from overseas. And companies such as Apple...
18%?
Only 18%.
I thought somebody came on, they said it was 33%.
No, government statistics.
Right. Honestly, 18. It's 18% is right.
It's 18%. At the peak...
So it's a domestic market. So to take...
Peak of the market was
35. Not too much.
But that's because US domestic earnings collapsed with banking earnings. So there's two places where the main places that margin pressure can come through. One is in terms of translation effect on the dollar. It will be a drag. There's no doubt about that. But it is mitigated by the overall exposure and the fact that a lot of supply chains have been outsourced ex-dollar. And the other thing is wages. Now, that was a major concern towards the end of last year, but most recent wage data in the US has been somewhat weaker. So that's mitigated that. But yes, the market is very sensitive to margin progression in the US, and to what extent Euro stocks are going to benefit from this on the flip side.
Gladiators, we ran out of time.
Good to talk to you. Thank you for having us.
Just love talking to you boys. Could talk to you all day.
It was a pleasure.
Especially if we were having a gentleman's gin and tonic. Okay, let's take a very quick break and then we'll be straight back with Mr. Angus Campbell, the senior market analyst.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.